Oh yeah. Oh yes. Still
here. We're back.
Still here somehow.
We are back.
Fan Cave Radio sign on for another episode. This is episode 5. I'm Daniel Frankel. You can find me at the Cankles. That's Stan_Cankles. Alongside me, as always and forever, is Ben Barker and Keith McPherson. Guys, how are we doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Good to be back.
Good to have you guys. You're laughing. You must be laughing about Tanaka last night.
Oh
shots fired. Ba-bam, ba-bam.
Yeah, threw a gem, really.
Can we get the shots fired? So, boom. Yeah.
Yeah, the air horn.
So Napoli basically hits a 360-foot home run to right field at Yankee Stadium in the first row, ends up winning the game. Keith, you weren't even that upset about it.
No, it was an epic battle between Lester and Tanaka, and the way that it went down. Tanaka pitched a complete game. He missed on a pitch, and Napoli capitalized. That's what professional baseball players are supposed to do. You lose a game off of a solo shot like that. It is what it is. Like, I respect both sides, and I don't know. I wasn't so mad. Like, in a game like that, if we were getting blown out, I'd probably be more mad. It was a game where I was like, I think I said something like, it might go extras. This game might go extras. It didn't.
It is what it is. And I think our fans want to know how you guys can interact and be such good friends as Yankees and Red Sox dwellers together.
Yeah, that's the question that always comes up. I mean, look, it's a great rivalry, Red Sox and Yankees, but it's kind of funny. We were talking about it yesterday. After Jeter retires after the season, David Ortiz will actually be the only guy left between the Red Sox or the Yankees from that 2004 season.
That's crazy. That makes me feel old.
In my opinion, was the peak of the rivalry in my lifetime, at least.
Yeah.
Documentaries and movies.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, that series is one of the best in baseball history, and it is crazy to think that Ortiz will be the only one left. How many more years do you think Ortiz has got?
Well, with the 10, extension. 12? No. I mean,
15?
The extension that he signed was kind of option-based, so I think that for a couple of years it's going to be up to him whether or not he wants to play, and then it's going to be vesting options. So I think he'll play, obviously, next year and probably 1 year after that.
Switching gears, though.
So I think it's going to be 2 years more.
Instead of the DH, I want to talk about second baseman. They don't really get enough love, and the AL has three incredible second basemen. They all deserve to start in the All-Star game. We got Robinson Cano, Ian Kinsler, Jose Altuve. So since it's fan vote, Cano is going to get the starting nod at second base for the All-Star game. But we're going to go to sign one, trade one, make a coach, that STM. Last week it was outfielders. This week it's second baseman. Guys, who are you going to sign, who are you going to trade, and who are you going to make a coach?
For me, I'm going to sign Altuve. This is one of the most exciting players in the league, and he is exactly what you want from your second baseman. He's a fast guy, plays good defense, gets on base, and wreaks havoc on the base path. So I'm signing Altuve. I'm going to trade Cano. I know he's one of the best hitters in baseball, one of the purest swings that there is in our game right now. But, he'll be able to clear that salary up a little bit, probably get a good return for Cano. And then I'm going to make Kinsler a coach. This is a guy who's had gone through some adversity in his career. He was, he was traded. Kind of had some...
Maybe that's the reason to trade him again.
Yeah, some questionable comments.
They got Prince Fielder for Kinsler straight up, so he's got value.
Well, he's also had success in both places. He's having a great year for Detroit this year after having a wonderful career in Texas. So you know that he can do it wherever he goes, and I think that will translate well to coaching.
I think the other two guys, Kinsler and Altuve, are incredibly underrated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially Altuve. Yeah. Altuve is arguably the MVP of the American League this year. I think you can make that case.
Keith, what do you think? Who do you got for that sign one, trade one, make a coach? Robinson Cano, Ian Kinsler, and Jose Altuve.
I'm signing Kinsler. That move by Detroit this year, if you look at that, that's huge for them. And just this week, the home run he hit against the Rangers, and he kind of made that little gesture. The late home run that he hit against the Astros.
That was huge.
I don't know. Like, sometimes you just see him on a level that, you don't see other guys on.
He's got TWTW.
Yeah, I'd sign him.
We're going to get to the TWTW, Ben, because you already just stole my thunder there. Altuve is my TWTW. I'm going to trade Ian Kinsler.
Really?
I think he's already been traded once. He's good trade bait. His contract isn't huge, although it is big. A guy like Prince Fielder is a big name. I think you can get someone like maybe Freddie Freeman for Ian Kinsler right now. Really? They need... The Braves need a second baseman.
Tommy LaStella is
not really working out for them right now. Dan Uggla is not really the answer.
I see Freddie Freeman being the face of that franchise. It's a lot of effort.
I think it's a fair trade.
Yeah. You know what? I just think that the Braves are too high on Freeman to pull the trade. But
fair.
I see what you mean. The value of those two players, it's similar to the Prince Fielder for Ian Kinsler trade. I think a lot of people think that Freddie Freeman still has yet to reach his full potential in the league. I mean, this is a guy that could potentially be hitting 40 plus home runs a year for an extended
period. He's a good hitter, a good
still a young guy too.
I'm gonna make Cano the coach. He's the oldest of the three. If I'm pretty sure, he's the oldest. Of three.
Yeah, I would say that.
Most experience. I just with the age and least amount of years. I also think moving Cano to a different team is pretty much impossible at this point with that contract. I know a lot of teams would be willing to take him on, but it's just not an easy move, and you probably will have to sacrifice players to make sure that you can get him off your books.
Probably have to eat a lot of the contract.
Right, and last but not least, we're all very high on this guy, Jose Altuve. I'm going to sign him and also make him my TWTW Player of the Week. That is the will to win. Jose Altuve has been tearing it up on the base pass. He leads the AL in steals with 35 steals right now. The other day, he had a homer, a triple, a double, stole home on a play.
Yeah.
The guy's incredible to watch. He's easily my TWTW. Keith, who you got for TWTW?
My TWTW is D. Gordon. The Dodgers have been on a surge lately, winning games, and he's been a big part of what they're doing. He's what I think is the spark plug. I was talking to Mike and Serena about the Dodgers and how last year Puig was like the guy to kind of, you know, like set them off. I think the play of D. Gordon this year, just getting
total 180 from how he was last year.
Yeah, kind of out of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, but him, you know, him being able to get on, whether it's a bunt, him being able to steal bases, even making plays in the field is kind of the spark for the Dodgers this year, and I give him my TWTW this week.
Ben, who do you got for your TWTW? The will to win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my hometown Red Sox here.
Oh, here we go.
Mike Napoli. Clutch home run. You know, he had been made, kind of looked foolish a couple of times in earlier at-bats against Tanaka in that
game.
The
splitter from Tanaka's nasty.
Yeah, he got the pitch that he wanted, the fastball up, and he put it in the seats. But not only that, you mentioned Altuve steal a home.
Right.
Altuve's a fast guy.
Yeah, and little.
How about Mike Napoli stealing home earlier this week?
It was a stealing home in the books, but give it to him. You know, it is what it is.
Mike Napoli goes in the books as a steal of home, and he had that crazy slide to avoid the tag, and after the game, he was like, oh, some ninja moves that I had there. So
he did look like a ninja, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, so
is he also your social media standout player of the week for those ninja moves?
No, he's not. My social media standout is Yasiel Puig.
Oh, Yasiel Puig.
Yeah, he's been really campaigning hard for the Dodgers to get them to the All-Star game, and I love to see that from players because obviously the team's going to do their part in promoting it. Fans are going to do their part, but to see players step up and kind of
he's wearing like World Cup stuff too.
Well, that's the other thing is he's been teaming up with Adrian Gonzalez to really rep Mexico hard in this World Cup. It's been a really exciting tournament.
That's awesome. And Keith, who do you got for your social media standout player? Who do you think the fans should be following on Twitter, on Instagram right now?
I'm going to go with the mascot.
Ooh.
At D-backs Baxter.
You're not going to go with DJ Kitty from the Rays.
I stopped following DJ Kitty. I don't know. They don't even show him anymore. They're not really doing so good. But D-Baxter this week, when they had the halfway to Christmas that night, and then that game went into 14 innings.
Yeah. You saw things were getting delusional in the cave. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, we were watching. We were like, what is he wearing? He's wearing a Santa Claus suit. Then he's got like some dinnerware with his like tux on. And I tweeted at him a picture, and I said something, and he retweeted it and favored it. So shout out to D-Baxter.
Shout out to D-Baxter. I think when games get late here, I mean, we were here till about 3:20 in the morning. It's only 12:20 in Arizona.
Yeah.
But they're acting like the clock strikes midnight, and all of a sudden, if you're not in bed, it's just totally different. Things are crazy over there. So for me, my social media standout player is actually Brandon Belt of the San Francisco Giants. He's been injured for a while with a broken arm, I believe. But he's doing a rehab stint, and recently he promised he would hit a home run for a cancer survivor before the game, and he came through.
Wow.
So that's always great to see when a player can really pull that off. We've seen that in movies and in TV shows, the fact that Brandon Belt could really do that. He deserves a follow. It's at BBelt9. Right now on Fan Cave Radio, we got to take a commercial break, but stick around. We got Snacking with Stan, as well as Social Shenanigans with Angela, things you don't want to miss, so keep it here.
It's Friday, and I'm bored. What should I do?
Well, if you're passing by on 4th and Broadway, there's the MLB Fan Cave, where you can meet the dwellers as well as see all the cool stuff that goes on in the Fan Cave.
Like what?
Well, there's 6 dwellers that watch every single game, every single pitch, and every single out. They do social media for Major League Baseball, and it really is one of the coolest jobs in the world.
I need to get Social Shenanigans. When is that coming on the podcast?
It's coming up next. Stay tuned. You do not want to miss Social Shenanigans.
Fan Cave Radio!
Fan Cave Radio!
Fan Cave Radio!
Fan Cave Radio!
It's time for the Fan Cave.
It's Fan Cave Radio.
It's time for Keith and Stanton.
On Fan Cave Radio.
Don't forget Angela and Dan. It's time for the Fan Cave Radio to return for commercial break right now.
All right, we're back here on Fan Cave Radio, and we're very lucky to have our first guest ever. It's Darren Meenan of the Seven Line and the Seven Line Army. Darren, thanks for coming by.
Now you put some pressure on me.
Yeah, right? First guest.
First guest ever.
No, we're going to have a guest every single week on the podcast, but Darren was kind enough to step up to the plate and be the first one, so we really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm a local guy, so I mean, this kind of makes sense.
It makes sense. It's a quick and easy commute for you to come in here, and we just want to kind of know how you got involved in printing Mets t-shirts.
Oh, it's a long story, but I'll try to abbreviate it. Before I even started the Seven Line brand, I printed t-shirts for over 10 years, so I kind of had the blueprint already mapped out for what I was trying to do. And in senior year of high school, I learned how to make t-shirts in my art class, and I kind of never had the motivation to wear a suit and tie to work, and I always kind of worked for myself. And from high school on, I was kind of hustling and trying to figure out a way that I could just use my creativity and my ability to make t-shirts and turn that into a business. So I went on eBay, I bought a really cheap press, I started printing shirts for everyone in the neighborhood.
eBay in high school is coming through right now. I've never heard that you can make a business from learning something in high school and using eBay.
Yeah.
But it worked out for you.
Yeah. So I was doing like local pizzerias, bars, family reunions. Pretty much everyone needs t-shirts.
Right.
It's true.
And,
especially clever ones.
Yeah.
I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah. And then being such a diehard Mets fan, and I would go to the games all the time, I just wanted to find a way to maybe go to more games.
Right.
Yeah. And the end of 2009, I was bartending at the time, and I was just, like, you know, working odd jobs here and there. But I was still doing the t-shirts. So I made a shirt that said, "I survived," and it was another letdown season. And
I'm going to need one of those at the end of this.
Yeah. Well, those are now discontinued. They'd have to be double-sided by now. But,
Man.
It had a breakdown of the previous few years,
right.
You know, like the collapse of 2007 and all the you know, the disappointments. But that wasn't even really supposed to be a business. It was just a funny t-shirt for my friends and I to wear. And then during the off season up until April 2010, I decided to maybe I could turn this into a business. So started a fan page on Facebook. I didn't really have Twitter yet, and I locked the domain name on for the website. And basically the rest is history. It spread quickly throughout the fan base, and people liked what I was doing, and I think they really appreciated it because it's a fan-owned business.
Right.
So people like supporting one of their own.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And well, it sounds like social media was a help for you. Is that some advice you'd give to somebody that's trying to start a clothing line?
Oh, of course. Well, any business in general, I think the first thing you should do, actually, before you come up with a name and get dead set on it, make sure it's available.
That's a good point.
Not even like trademark-wise. I'm just saying, like, there's a million Joe's Pizzerias. But, you know, try to find a name that you could actually link everything to. So go on Instagram, go on Twitter, go on Facebook. Try to, like, search it all throughout the board and just make sure that you
can
link.
So Nike might be a good one because Nike's available?
Yeah.
That's not funny,
just make sure it's all linked.
That's a terrible joke. all that stuff.
It makes it more seamless. You know?
Seven Line is clever. And Stan just said, like, right before he got here, he's like, "Why Seven Line?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Well, that's the train we take to get to Citi Field in Shea Stadium." And he's like, "Oh, that makes sense. That's a good name."
It wasn't my first choice, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you want it to be?
All things that, like, a play on the Mets, like Metropolitan, teams, Met something.
Yeah.
And everything I came up with was taken. And in 2009, when it started, they were really pushing to take the train to the game.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't fully knock down Shea yet in the beginning.
That was a nightmare.
And, like, it was just something familiar. And I wanted to come up with something, like I was saying before, that's easy to remember, that, you know, was available. And this was available across the board.
Yeah.
So kind of landed on that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you ever think that the Seven Line and the Seven Line Army would ever grow to be what it is today?
No. When I was starting, it was in my parents' basement.
Yeah,
and,
that's crazy.
You know, just walking around the ballpark, seeing people wearing the shirts. And I started shipping things to other states and overseas. And it kind of just picked up so quickly.
Yeah.
And I was content just doing it in my basement. I didn't realize it would get to the level it has right now, but it's a blessing.
It's just awesome to see, like we're sitting here in the fan cave and we're watching games, and they show a line, and they show, like, a live feed of, like, the Seven Line Army at the different, like, away games.
I always screenshot it.
And I'm always just like, and it's so impressive because it's, like, so, it's like, was it, like, 200-400 fans?
It's crazy. Yeah.
In, like, a visiting
Philly,
game.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
They went crazy.
You can hear them.
Definitely came to AT&T Park.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was such a nightmare of a game. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, we
did. The fans did.
Yeah.
We did 4 away games this year, and we won all of them except for San Fran. We were winning until the 9th and blew it, but I mean, think that the away games have turned into this, like, huge event.
Yeah.
And fans from all around the country come.
Yeah.
The San Fran game, 17 different states of fans came to that one.
It was impressive. It was really, really awesome. Impressive.
It's a great idea because it kind of reminds me of, like, a college atmosphere where, like, teams would go on the road and you would bring a huge fan base. But baseball doesn't really have that in terms of road fans coming out.
People say that often, you know, that we have kind of a college atmosphere, but the diversity of the groups that come to the games is so widespread. I mean, yeah. Like my parents come to the games. They're getting up there in age.
That's awesome.
We have newborn babies in the section. So it's like, I think what brings everyone together is our love for the Mets.
Right.
And everyone really just is striving to see a contending team. But in the meantime, the diehard aspect of the, you know, the community aspect and the relationships that people have been creating just from being diehard Mets fans is something that it's hard to compare to.
Yeah.
And it is kind of weird because this brand's been around for a few years now. We've never seen a winning
still,
team, but the brand itself gets bigger every year.
It's still winning.
Like,
yeah.
You know, there's diehard Mets fans everywhere.
Right.
And we're just trying to have fun and hopefully.
I see a ton of Mets stuff in the city all the time, no matter what the record is.
I mean,
it's like the cool team to wear, in my opinion. The Yankees are like very well known and out there. But even for a tourist, it's like, hey, where can I get a Mets hat? Because all of my friends have Yankee hats.
Right. Well, I mean,
it's true.
I don't know if you've traveled overseas. I went to England once and I walked into a soccer shop, or they call it football.
Right.
But it was all different jerseys on the wall and they had Yankees hats.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the only hat they had. In the whole store, but the Yankees are a worldwide brand, you know.
Sure.
It's kind of hard to compete with them as far as the cool popularity contest, but hopefully that changes.
And we've both been Mets fans for forever, so I just want to get your take on your favorite moment either at Citi Field or at Shea Stadium.
Favorite moment at Shea would probably have to be, I mean, I got my first foul ball from Bobby Bonilla.
Oh, that's cool.
I was sitting close to the on deck circle, and he threw one up to me. So, I mean, I'm older than you guys, I think. I was born in 1980, so in 86, I wasn't really old enough
close. Angela's close.
To, like,
she's creeping up on you.
To really appreciate
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I haven't seen too many great moments besides...
I was there during the 86 Mets.
Huh? I was just about to turn 6.
Do you remember any of it at all?
Not really. Yeah. My parents went to the games. My grandfather used to work there, so they got the hookup, but... as far as highlights, I'd have to say just being at the no-hitter would be great.
Oh, you're right, Johan.
You can't really replicate that. I used to never want to miss a game because I never knew when it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So I guess I could slide
it off. Finally happened, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't there for that one. So.
I got to ask, coming from a girl's side, I know that a lot of brands and lines are really tailoring clothes now to women. How do you find yourself getting to design your shirts for not just men?
I think that if I had to break it down, maybe our business might be like 30% women.
Okay.
I wish it was more, but I mean, obviously it's a male-dominated apparel company for the time being. But, you know, girls right now can go to Victoria's Secret and they have their whole wide array of whatever for every team. I think almost every team has like a Victoria's Secret version. So, I mean, we're trying to do our part. I mean, so far so good.
Yeah.
30% I think is impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it's not 50-50. It'd be cool if it would be, but our outings are actually pretty much 50-50, like women to men.
Yeah.
So
far. Hearing our women, you know, going to the games and wearing their Mets jerseys.
And they got the fat heads in the crowd, too.
There you go.
Oh, it's a blast. Well, we appreciate you coming by, man.
Absolutely.
You can find Darren Meenan. It's at the 7 Line and 7line.com, correct?
Yeah, 7line.com. And also this year we're actually in Citi Field. We have a kiosk right in center field behind our section.
I won't be able to be there. I'll be here.
next year, I will absolutely come by and check it out.
So,
if you're at the games, come swing by, check it out. And if you want to come to the games, go to the 7lineArmy.com. We have 4 more available this year.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man.
That's awesome.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Oh my God, did you see Bryce Harper at 3 home runs in 1 game?
Yeah, did you see the amazing catch by the Phillies broadcaster?
I saw it because I went on MLBFanCave.com and I clicked the block where it's got the wackiest and craziest things that a lot of people miss.
Yeah, you got to check it out to get all the latest stories from around Major League Baseball. MLBFanCave.com blog never misses the action.
All eyes will be on Minneapolis, Minnesota for the All-Star Game. 8 p.m., July 15, bright lights, big stars. The Dwellers will be there, something you don't want to miss.
That's right. Make sure you tune in to see stars such as Mike Trout, Jose Bautista, Troy Tulowitzki. They're all going to be there playing their hearts out because guess what? The All-Star Game matters. The winning league gets home field advantage in the World Series.
Back here on Fan Cave Radio, it's one of my favorite segments. We're going to switch things up a little bit away from baseball and towards the plate. I don't mean home plate. I mean the dinner plate. We got Stanton Jones.
That's why they keep bringing you guys
back. They keep bringing us back.
That's why they keep bringing
Stanton,
you guys back.
Episode 5.
Yo, thank you guys. This is an absolute honor.
Honor and a pleasure. You say that every week.
Let me tell you to be back.
You're going to be on every single time.
Yo, but still, you know, you never know. But let me get straight to the point today. Let me tell you what's going on
this
week.
Okay, tell us the chase. Right to the chase.
Dodger dogs. That's what I'm snacking on this week. Let me tell you. It's at Dodger
They ship
Stadium.
Them into the fan cave?
Well, no.
We'll tweet at them and ask
but
them.
We can definitely tweet at them. We can ask them. Maybe FedEx can hook it up for us. They can FedEx them here.
I see what you're saying.
Oh. But let me tell you. It's pretty cool because it's for $5. It's a rather long hot dog from what I told. I've never personally had a Dodger dog.
You've seen pictures, of course.
But I've seen pictures, of course. And I know that any time that a visiting team comes into town, they usually do something special. Like apparently with the St. Louis Cardinals, they brought in different barbecue sauces. Depending on the different teams, like what's their like delicacy like.
Right.
They'll come through and they'll bring a special ingredient.
Sounds delicious.
Dodger dog. So yeah, it sounds really,
so
really
going
good.
For the Dodger dog.
And let me tell you though. With all the Dodger dogs that people are eating, it's really important once again to stay in shape. You know,
okay,
of course it is.
You gotta stay in shape.
You know, we've done crunches.
We don't really
done
do
squats,
that.
You know, we've done a lot of different stuff, but
okay.
not really.
But not
this
really.
Week. This is we're upping the ante a little bit.
Okay, I'm ready for this.
We're running in place.
Oh,
cardio!
We're running in place. We're doing some cardio this week, boys.
Okay.
Let me tell you. So what we're doing is you're gonna get a stopwatch.
You think I've been gaining weight in the cave? Be honest.
Yeah, but it's more muscle.
Oh, you think I'm getting muscle?
Yeah, I think you're getting muscular. Good. Actually, one of the MTV people was
true.
Had mentioned that you look like you had been bigger.
They said I was getting big. The biceps are getting big.
The biceps, so the triceps.
I think my tummy. So I lose the weight in the tummy by doing the running in place?
By doing the running in place. So
how long? That sounds terrible.
We're going to do 5 sets. Of a minute. So basically 5 minutes. So you run for a minute, you take a break for 30 seconds. You run for a minute, you take a break for 30 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of running.
I'll give it a shot.
Did you know that one of the fan cave dwellers ran a marathon in the cave?
No. Are you serious?
Not this year.
Not this year.
Oh, okay.
2 years ago.
My bet was on Serena.
Oh, no. Definitely not Serena. But 2 years ago, one of the dwellers, there was a marathon that he wanted to attend in St. Louis and couldn't.
Yeah.
So he filmed himself walking and running around the cave, and he kept a pedometer to add up to the total amount of steps you needed for a marathon.
Wow.
That's commitment right there.
That's commitment.
Yo,
TW for that guy.
If you guys could see it, I am taking my hat off.
Hats off.
My hat is literally off.
And now that your hat is off, you can walk out of the studios because we are done with Snacking with Stan.
Always
a pleasure. Thank
Always
you, buddy.
A pleasure.
I Thanks want something
lot,
really, really messy for next week's
Really, really messy?
Really messy.
Sloppy Joe-esque.
Let me see what I can cook up in the kitchen of Stanton.
Hey, and make sure you tweet the Dodgers. Ask them to ship us some Dodger dogs. We would
Absolutely.
Love that in the cave.
Via FedEx.
Via FedEx. Thanks, Stan.
All right, see ya.
Did you just see that home run?
Yeah, of course I did.
Well, if you want to see it again, where's the place you can go?
Check out MLB.tv. You can check out every single game of the season with your subscription. It's so worth it.
What is that place?
Where, on the corner of 4th and Broadway there?
Yeah, with all the bright lights, big TVs, and baseball stuff.
Well, that's the MLB Fan Cave, of course.
What goes on in the MLB Fan Cave?
The dwellers watch every single game of the Major League Baseball season. They vlog, they post on their social media accounts. They're basically just ambassadors for the game.
Sounds like an absolute dream job.
It sure is.
Back here on Fan Cave Radio from those wacky commercials. I don't know who we are hiring for the commercials.
Whoever it is doing a great job.
Well, we make sure that those spots, there's a lot of money. So there's a lot of money invested in Fan Cave advertising. We got Angela Lauren here with us for Social Shenanigans. Angela, the Giant fan, how are you doing this week?
It's a stressful week for us Giants fans.
Yeah, Dodgers have caught up.
I know, they've caught up, and we're trying to avoid this sweep. We're currently bottom of the ninth, 2 outs. Wow. It's not looking good.
Not looking good, but what is looking good is Derek Jeter, and he had his birthday party recently at the Brickyard. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, he had his 40th birthday. Can't believe he's 40. It makes me feel old. I bet it makes you boys feel old too, right?
It does.
Oh, yeah.
Always talking about age with Lauren.
But it was just really interesting to see how many people came out, and he really is the captain, even when it comes to celebrities. He had LL Cool J there, P. Diddy, so that was trending on social media.
Well, he's aging himself a little bit.
I know, right?
Yeah, those are some old celebs.
And then he had his hot swimsuit, Sports Illustrated model, who's like 20-something years old.
That's
so
right.
He was all over the webs this week. And also, you got to love kids. You got to love kids catching foul balls. They do the most hilarious things.
They do.
They either throw it back or they, this week, have been licking the ball.
Yeah. What's up with that?
There's this little girl who licked the ball in the Padres game.
Yep.
And then there was this little boy who ended up
the
licking.
One who dances with the tongue
out?
No,
not that guy.
Oh.
No,
I know who you're talking about. It was the Astros, right?
Yeah, it was the Astros. He licked the ball, and then his sister slapped him.
Yeah, because it's gross.
Maybe he thought it was like a, what are those called, a jawbreaker?
Yeah.
I don't think so. You just lick at him for days.
Well, you see what the guys are doing out on the mound when they're pitching. I mean, they're getting all the rosin up on their hand. They use dirt. They use sweat. Whatever they can to get a grip. And then they're putting that on the ball.
And start licking it.
Yeah.
Not to mention all of the pine tar that's on the bat that then's getting on the ball.
Can't say pine tar. Gotta be careful with that.
They're building up their immune systems. They're young. But you have like Romo on the mound. He's licking his hand.
Not anymore.
Yeah. and touching it. That's true.
But Chang.
Oh, sore subject.
But he'll be back. We all know Romo will be back. He just needs to kind of go
figure
down.
Some
yeah,
out.
Figure it out.
Maybe shave the beard.
Yeah.
Maybe shave the beard.
He did shave, and that was the problem.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah.
That
kind of messed everything
but
up.
Maybe he really needs to like go bare bones, though. I mean, shave the head, maybe.
Just be totally shaved.
Look
like a baby. Angela, things have been tough for the Giants, but socially, things are still great in the cave. We appreciate you coming by. I appreciate you too, and we look forward to having you next week. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Fan Cave Radio.
It's time for the Fan Cave.
It's Fan Cave Radio.
It's time to return to the Fan Cave Radio. We've got Keith, we've got Dan, we've got Sten, and Angela.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, now we're back here. This is Keith McPherson with Daniel Frankel, Ben D. Barker, Fan Cave Radio.
Episode 5, Return of the Sith.
Every episode can't be Return of the
Sith.
Well,
there's been 6.
Episode 3.
You're right. 4, 5, and then 1, and then it starts over. It's so confusing. I don't get it.
That's all right.
Let's just go Harry Potter, Goblet of Fire.
There we go.
Return of the Jedi. Either way, guys, Mike Trout, he didn't hit one 5 feet. He hit one 489 feet at Kauffman Stadium. This was a splash hit. Is it going to be the longest home run of the year?
I think it is. 489. We can barely hit that in an MLB The Show 14 in Home Run Derby.
No, we can't.
He's just doing that in regular games. I mean,
in regular life.
Absolute blast.
Make sure to check that video out on MLB.com if you haven't seen Mike Trout's home run yet. He loves that low pitch.
Oh, and he loves center field.
He'll go down and get it. Yep.
He goes down and gets the ball. He's not having a Trout year, but he is.
Yeah, his numbers, I mean, he's just striking out a lot. That's the problem.
Right.
I think he's putting a little bit too much pressure on himself right now. It should help with the return of Josh Hamilton to that lineup. And, you know, Pujols is having a good year, too. He can take that pressure off himself a little bit. The Angels are playing good baseball.
Yeah, they are. And what's crazy is he's not having a Trout year, but you look at his numbers, they'll probably be his best season ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at his wins above replacement today. He's still leading the league in wins above replacement, which kind of makes you one of the nominees for MVP already, right off the bat like that. Probably going to be between him, Tanaka, and Miguel Cabrera, as usual.
Hey, I said earlier, you got to throw Altuve into that mix. That guy's absolutely tearing
it. It can't be Altuve when your team's in last because you're not valuable.
No. You know what?
I said that during the week, too, with off the bat asking the question. But even though he's not on the best team, like you can't deny what he's done first half.
Leading the league in hits by like 15 compared to everyone else in the AL. So that's crazy. Another thing I want to talk about, Carlos Pena. This is a name we used to talk about 5, 6, 7 years ago. He would hit long home runs at the Trop. Well, this one landed into beef brisket. Ben, what happened here?
First of all, congratulations, Carlos Pena, getting back in the bigs.
Yeah, absolutely.
His first game back, I think. Very first game back, he hits a bomb, right? This was an absolute shot. Ends up landing over near a concessions area right in this big tin of beef brisket. So,
would you still eat the brisket afterwards if it's free? How about that? Let's start
with
that.
Of course. Well, hey, if it was going to one of those fans that we've seen earlier, they're going to lick it right off.
Oh, I wouldn't eat that.
The really funny part about this, and you can check out this video on our website, MLBFanCave.com, on the blog, that the guy who got this beef brisket ball actually ended up pulling off the smooth move. He saw our girl, and he gave her the ball. Broadcaster doing the story says, do you guys know each other? The guy says, no, we just met 5 minutes ago. But now, he's going to slide into those DMs.
So baseball bringing guys and girls together, and the only thing he needed was a little bit of brisket. That's probably the best smelling foul ball there ever is.
I would say,
I would have to agree with that. And the last thing we want to talk about is another home run ball. It's at the Phillies game.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman, who we've mentioned earlier before, it's an absolute shot, and this one is caught by the announcer of the Phillies. Keith, what went down here?
This guy had his first base glove ready.
Yeah.
And they're calling the game, and he just raises up and snags that one. It was like he planned on it happening.
I think the best part of the video was that Jamie Moyer was, whoever the guy was egging him on to throw it back.
Jamie Moyer.
Yeah, Jamie Moyer.
I want to say Matt Stairs was in the booth with him, too. And as the ball was coming out there, you just hear Matt Stairs go, "Get it, Tom!"
And
he backed off himself. This is the former major leaguer.
Right.
Backing off and yelling at McCarthy.
Someone else to get it for him.
That was a riot. But yeah, as soon as he caught it, Jamie Moyer was like, nah.
Have you guys ever thrown a ball back onto the field?
I've never caught a home run ball.
No,
I've never caught a home run ball either.
Would you? Yeah, that's the real question.
Probably not, no.
I think I would.
You don't get kicked out?
It depends on, the time of the game or, what's going on in a situation.
There are people that are, yelled at if they don't throw it back,
especially at Wrigley and
Fenway.
I know that that's really big.
Yeah.
You don't see it at Fenway all that much, unless you see it sometimes with the home runs up in the Monster. It was funny. I think it was a few years ago. More than that. It was actually a while ago because Johnny Damon was still on the Red Sox. But there was a home run at Fenway up into the Monster. A fan threw it back. Damon picked it up, threw it back up into the Monster, and the fan actually threw it back on the field.
Oh, my God. They're having a little bit of a back and forth.
Yeah,
we've seen players throw balls into the crowd, and we've seen bloody noses. Pretty much seen it all when What would happen if a fan threw the ball onto the field and hit a player? Ejected, right?
Yeah, you have to get tossed. You'd have to get tossed.
But yeah, you're out of the stadium.
What if there was no intent?
I don't think it matters at that point.
You even kind of interfere, you're out.
Yeah.
I have to agree with that. We got to take a commercial break here on Fan Cave Radio. That was Out of Here Moments. Coming up next, Mike Bowling is going to give us that traffic and weather report that we need, as well as Ben Barker's famous wrap-up, things you don't want to miss, so keep it here.
MTV2's Off the Bat is the hottest and newest show showing players off the field.
That's right. You want to know what the players are like when they step off the field? Click on Off the Bat Tuesdays at 11 p.m. You'll see players like David Ortiz, Jose Bautista, and Josh Donaldson uncut and uncensored on MTV2.
The MLB Fan Cave on the corner of 4th and Broadway is a hub for all things social media and baseball.
That's right. Come on by Fridays from 2 to 4 and you can check out the whole cave. Like, for example, the Majestic Game Room. They've got pinball, they've got PlayStation 4, they've even got skee-ball.
Fan Cave Radio!
Fan Cave Radio.
Back here on Fan Cave Radio, I got Mike Bowling by my side for Cave Crashes, telling us everything that's going on throughout the cave this week and last week. Mike, what went down?
Yeah, we had a lot of stuff going on this week. It was pretty awesome. We had MasterCard come through, and they held their Priceless Surprises thing here, and it was pretty cool. They had a bunch of Yankee fans from all over.
That was like a nightmare for Ben.
Yeah, Ben, I didn't know how much Ben liked it, but
it was awful.
Too many Yankee fans.
Yeah, but it was real cool. They had these families come, and they got the surprise through MasterCard where they were supposed to watch a game or watch the Yankees-Red Sox game here, and the actual surprise was they got taken to Yankee Stadium and got to sit in a suite with Mariano Rivera, so that was real cool.
Unbelievable.
If you guys could sit in a suite with one player, who would you choose?
Current player?
Anyone. But Mo's not a current player right now.
Current or former player? Jeez, Jason Varitek for me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You love Varitek.
I'd probably pick Ernie Banks.
Yeah, ooh, that'd be a good one, too.
I've heard, I mean, just, you know, talking to people that have met him, he's one of the, like, more radiant guys. You could talk to him about anything, so that would be pretty cool for me.
And a guy I would love to sit with is David Ortiz, and he actually came through the Fan Cave this week for Off the Bat. Mike, how was that?
It was cool, man. He has all the swag. He came in here, he had his glasses on, he did the taping with his glasses on, didn't want to take them off.
I think the glasses were on the whole time. Yeah, he's got that Poppy swag. He is like a living legend. The line we had outside the Fan Cave was incredible. The amount of people taking pictures of him, it's probably tough to go anywhere when you're David Ortiz.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you guys remember, but recently Boston's mayor had to step down for health reasons, Mayor Menino. So they had a new election for the new mayor of Boston.
Was Ortiz on the ballot?
Ortiz came in third place in the vote. God. Because
wasn't it write-in
vote?
Yeah. Oh my God! So he wasn't even running.
No, of course not. He wasn't running, but he got written.
That's how you know you're a legend.
Yeah, absolutely. And next week in the Fan Cave, we got some big things happening. Mike, what should we expect?
Just tours, man. Whenever you guys are in, if you're in around New York City, around 4th and Broadway, come by 2 to 4 on Friday afternoons. We have the doors open. Music playing.
Oh yeah,
it's always a good time in the cave. And give you a little window in on what we're all about in here. So
learn about everything that goes on in the Fan Cave. That's tours from 2 to 4 every Friday here at the Fan Cave. Mike, I'm gonna let you go. Thanks for bringing us up to speed. Closing up here on Fan Cave Radio, I got Ben Barker by my side. Ben, you're known with the wrap-ups. This week you're doing a special one for your boy Big Poppy, almost mayor of Boston. Ben, hit us with a wrap-up.
All right.
The champagne will flow and the duck boats will roll. There's no doubt when you got Big Poppy. The season is a marathon, but we always be Boston strong. There's no doubt when you got Big Poppy. Who you gonna look to when the game is on the line? The man you wanna bet the dish in the bottom of the ninth. Ortiz is going berserk as Boston pops his third cork. Is he the best clutch hitter? Ask the boys in New York. He's got a B on his hat, but he's got the city on his back. And on his hand, he's got 3 rings. Imagine that. So grab a bat, some eye black, and start feeling some pity for the man pitching a Poppy. This is our city. Fenway's gonna sing when we get another ring. No doubt when you got Big Poppy, the bats will get hotter, and we love that dirty water. No doubt when you got Big Poppy.